Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, my friends. It is hour number two. That's right, hour number two of KMOX's At Your Service. Greg Damon hanging out with you till 10 o'clock tonight. And we got a lot of stuff planned for you this hour for sure. If you remember, if you were playing the home game of the At Your Service show last week and were listening to us, Brent Cassidy was in here. He has a book called Nightmare Success, also a podcast called Nightmare Success. And he is actually back in studio. And we're going to continue our conversation with that fascinating, fascinating conversation we had. And Brent, I want to make sure I turn your mic on here real quick. Thanks for coming down and hanging out with us for sure.
Thank you, Greg. This is better than last time because I actually found my way here on time. I was wandering around St. Louis and you guys moved 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. For folks that don't know, KMOX used to be right across from the Arch. Mm-hmm. And so when Brent and I were, making for him to come down here, emailing back and forth, texting back and forth. And I said, okay, here we are, parked by the blue awning, whatever. So he texts me, I'm here. And it's like 10 minutes before the show or before he's supposed to be on. And so we go down and look for him. He's not there and figure out that he's.
Very humbling, Greg. Yes, just wandering around.
You know what? It's all right. Everything worked out great. So that's all that matters. Well, again, thanks, Brent, for coming down and hanging out. So again, your book, Nightmare Success, also a podcast with that. I want to kind of recap for some of the folks maybe listening new tonight about your story and really how this is. Family-owned business.
Yeah.
You end up going to prison, so I'll let you go ahead and kind of recap.
Yeah, it was a family-owned business. We ended up growing that business and got to be into 22 states. All the good things that go with going into a family business, my brother and I were kind of known as maybe innovators in a business that didn't change that much because we got into life stories and creating when you went to the cemetery.
Yeah, this is for funeral home,
funeral
for prearranged
cemeteries. Yeah,
prearranged funeral home, yeah. For prearranged funeral.
So we got into that business and because we were doing different things in that business, we were known. But the short story of it is we got into a terrible tiff when that happened, we went into a six-year battle and lost, and mistakes were made.
And this is with the federal government.
With the federal government, ended up to be a federal indictment with six people, and it included my dad, the CFO, the president, our attorney, the investment advisor, and the secretary. So it was a big deal. It was a very humbling deal. And I ended up at the gates of Leavenworth Prison. And man, is that humbling.
I got to, what was it like sitting there and finding out that you're going to have to go to Leavenworth? I mean, I'd probably all over myself.
Well, it's anybody who says that they aren't scared when they hear that, first of all, that you're going to go to prison. Leavenworth is a scary word because people know that.
Right. It's hardcore. Military prison on top of it.
Yeah, there's a military prison behind there. It's actually the only military prison in the United States that is right behind there. But yeah, anybody who doesn't, they're not being honest with you, that it shakes you to your core knowing that you're going to go to prison because you don't know. And I said this, I think, Greg, last time when we were talking is that what your mind makes it out to be in your mind, it's never as bad as you think it is, but you have to walk through it to get to those places where you think, okay, this isn't as bad as I thought it was. But when you, there's two ways to get to prison. You know, you can be shackled and brought in a van, and they draw the rifles, and that's a scary looking thing that I saw pretty much every day, because we were on the outside of the wall at the camp, and then the USP was on the hill. Or you can voluntarily surrender. Now I know that voluntarily surrendering is better, and that's what I got to do. But going and getting out of your car, and going and standing at that gate is an experience that you cannot ever properly explain to somebody, because everything that you know is behind you. Everything you love is behind you. Your freedom is behind you. And you're walking into this place that is built in 1879. Whether you go to the maximum, medium, or the camp, you go into the same place to get processed. The first thing that happens, I think, when you go into that world is, do they know that I'm supposed to be in the other place? And, you know, that just is kind of just, you're swirling, sure. You know, you're walking into, and it's like a maze. You know, you go into the basement of this gigantic, ugly-looking, you know, prison, and, you know, they walk you down one of those hallways and say, you know, open door 5, and door 5 opens, and they say to step in, and you step in, and you don't know anything, and they don't tell you anything.
Well, I mean, you got to be thinking, look, I'm not a bad guy, you know, I'm not a murderer, I'm not a bank robber, I don't, you know.
And the crazy thing is everybody is processed and treated the exact same way, whether what you did or how you did. And that's the very first thing that I noticed when you step into prison is you don't know anything and you're not told anything, and it's on purpose. It's almost kind of like a hazing effect of getting used to the idea that you have no more rights. Your freedom's been left at the gate. And you sit in that cell for a while until they do anything, and you've got time to think, you know, is this it? Is this where I'm going to be?
Right.
Do they know that I should be somewhere? All these things go on. So that is that's such a strange, and you sit there, you know, by the time you process through, and so it takes, you know, 4 hours or more. And that in itself is just so, gets you to your soul. Really does.
Well, you know, in today, you look at TV, you look at movies, prison's kind of glorified, you know, the Orange is New Black and all this, you know, it's like, it's kind of like day camp, you know?
I think one of the things that I learned, because you do see all those things. So, you don't know you don't know. So when I got out of that cell in the big house and went down and got into this place that looked like a little rundown schoolhouse, had the big fence around it with the barbed wire and all that. You get in there, and this is something that is like what you see in the movies. They do, everybody does gather around to look at the new people because you're the new guy.
Right.
But one thing I immediately, when I was brought to my place where I was going to be living, and it was a huge dorm room, because there were two cell man rooms in two different blocks, but the new guys go into the big dorms, and immediately there were guys helping me. And it was, I didn't expect it. I didn't know that was going to happen. My bunk mate was a little Hispanic guy. He looked like a boxer, and he was a boxer. And he immediately helped me with my stuff, and he starts helping me clean out my locker. He said, you don't want to put anything in there. We got to go get some stuff to clean this out. And he starts showing me how to make my bed military style. And he immediately introduces me to somebody that was strange. This guy that he introduces me to across the way, he says, hey, Clark, he's one of you. Help him out. And Clark, as I get to talking to him, had gone to the same high school as me, at DeSmet. He had played basketball. He was 8 years my senior, and I had played basketball. And I had two or three guys immediately start helping me. And that was such a relief because I all of a sudden started realizing that these guys in here are just trying to get by. And I was going to say that's the one thing that's different because I got to spend 6 days in jail as opposed to 3 years in prison. And there is a gigantic difference between the two.
Let's get to that. I got to do a little business, though. Stick around just a few minutes here, and we'll get into that. Folks, we're visiting with Brent Cassidy, and that's right. He's got a book out called Nightmare Success. Also, check out his podcast as well. And we're talking about prison, of all things, here on At Your Service tonight. Stick around. We have more to
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Come. Welcome back, everyone. KMOX is at your service. 9:20 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. Greg Damon sitting in the big chair tonight, going all the way till 10 o'clock. Got a great guest in the house, Brent Cassidy. He has got a book called Nightmare Success. Also has a podcast, which we'll get into a little bit later. But as you heard earlier in the first segment, Brent went to prison, and we're kind of talking about what goes on there. Again, Brent, thanks for coming down and hanging out with us tonight.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So we kind of talked about going into the big doors there, yeah. Getting processed. Now you go down to the, as you said, the old schoolhouse with the barbed wire all over it.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting was is that when you go in there, you don't have like any toiletries or anything. You're brand new, and you know.
So they just give you a uniform, and that's
it? Yeah, they give you a uniform and your bedding, and that's it. I didn't even get a pillow. I had to wait for a pillow for about 3 weeks. So that was, yeah, I had a coat that I slept on for a while. But the thing that I thought was interesting was, there's a couple of different things that grabbed me right away about just the prison environment was that without toiletries, you're going to have them until the next, you know, week around. Romo, my bunkmate, said, Cassidy, make sure you go down at 9 o'clock to the chapel. They'll take care of you. I thought, well, I don't know what that means, but I'm going. And so the other new guy that was with me, we went down to the chapel, and these guys gathered around, and they, just as when new guys come in, they gather toiletries. They donate them to the chapel, and then they give you this little bag that's got your toothpaste, your shampoo, and other things that are in there. And I thought, wow. You know, and as I got, you know, as further into my, I did the same thing, but you just don't know about those things. You know, no. These guys are really trying to help you through getting this transition. And I was going to say, the one thing that's so drastically different about prison is that once guys get there, and they're going to be there for a while, they realize that they're going to have to make this as comfortable as they can to live. Whereas jail, and I was only in there for 6 days, and it felt like 6 years, it's so transitory, and the everybody who, you know, you got people waiting for court, you've got somebody that's got a DWI, you've got somebody that killed somebody, you got somebody that raped somebody, and it's just flat out the bottom of the bottom. And at any given moment, everything's on edge and fights break out. People, blood, you know, is on the floor. It is a totally different environment, to the point where, you know, people who are in those pods for a while, you know, I know guys that I was in prison with that were in there for 16 months or 9 months or whatever. You don't even, in jail. Yeah, in jail.
Okay.
And you don't go outside. You're in those pods. I mean, you might be able to go to another room for a workout type thing for 25 minutes and come back, but those guys don't even go outside. It's a totally different deal. So when you're entering the prison world, there's a different feel and a different vibe from the fact that it's built on it's primitive, very primitive, you know, social society, but it works well, and it's built on respect. You know, you have the prison rules and you have the inmate rules. And you need to learn the inmate rules real quick, because you can get in trouble don't sit on somebody's bed. Don't sit in somebody's spot. Don't dare turn the channel. Those are things that can break things out in a big hurry. And the other thing that you don't want to do with prison rules and inmate rules is that it's better not to know if something's going on, because there's things that go on in prison, and they call it ear hustle. So if you're ear hustling, you're trying to get into people's business. Well, that's not good, because that means that you know something, and then they can shake you down, the COs or whatever.
Or the prisoners, I would assume.
Or the prisoners. And you never want to be known as a snitch, because that's the worst thing that can happen to you in prison. So in prison, you better just learn to keep to your business. They call it your car. Your car are the people that you hang out with, you know, your two or three or four guys that you do things with. But if you are into gossip or into what they call ear hustling, you don't want to be that guy. You just want to be the guy that has keeping to yourself, keeping to your business. Don't get in other people's business.
Yeah, I've kind of wrote down a few little things, and respect was obviously one of them. I would think that really has to go a long way in prison respect. I mean, we see it out in regular society today. It seems to become more and more prevalent. Everybody thinks, you know, it seems like everybody has very thin skin, and, you know, you can't joke with anybody anymore. Everything's a big problem. I assume in prison it's probably even worse.
Yeah, the respect is really the glue that holds the thing. And you'd think, like, because we're prisoners, that there's like people stealing stuff and taking stuff, and
well, that's the way it is in the movies.
Yeah, and there's not that's part of the respect thing. And if you are, you don't want to be that person either, because you will be taken care of and handled. There are ways that people get handled when they are that bad type of thing and they don't follow the respect rule. But for the most part, that world runs on the fact that people respect people's property, they respect people's business, and you don't get into other people's business like, what are you in here for? Now, if you're close to somebody, if Greg, you and I are close, and we're, you know, we walk the fence together, or we eat together or whatever, we might know a lot more about each other than somebody. It's intended to be, and everybody looks on it as rude if somebody says, "Hey, what are you in here for?" You for whatever reason, that's a prison rule,
wow,
inmate rule, that you really don't get into that. You are taken for who you are when you walk in the door, and they'll check that out.
I'm sure of that. Is it kind of like, you know, Shawshank Redemption, when they say, "Well, of course, don't you know everybody's innocent?
Everybody's innocent in here."
That's right.
That's the big joke at the kitchen or at the dinner table there. Yeah.
I can only imagine. All right, I'm going to do a little bit more business here. Brent, hang with me some more. We got some more stuff to get into. All right, fantastic, folks. We are visiting with Brent Cassidy. He's got a podcast called Nightmare Success. Also, an author with a book on that. And we're talking about prison here on KMOX is at your service. Going to do a little bit of business. We'll be right back. Stick around. KMOX is at your service. Greg Damon sitting in the house tonight. Also, we are visiting with Brent Cassidy. He is the author of Nightmare Success. Also has a podcast called Nightmare Success. We kind of gave a little synopsis earlier. Family-owned business ends up going to prison. and kind of talking about what really happened when he was in prison. Again, Brent, thanks for hanging out with us here on a Thursday night tonight.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
So we've talked about a little bit difference between jail and prison. Sounds like jail may be a little more rougher than prison.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I would have never guessed that. So
yeah, no, there is no comparison because of the immediate danger. You know your danger in prison. You know you're there long enough to kind of figure out it's so transitory with people coming in and out of a jail. And you don't know what kind of people they are and what they and everything is like a light match that's just getting ready to go off. And it's tough. It's not a place you want to stay very long. But I'll tell you this: the one of the things I think is interesting about prison, because you know my life as growing up and whatever, I thought you know I lived a pretty normal life and. I do think it's interesting what you can actually adapt to. I think, you know, going into Leavenworth, you know, I didn't know what all I was going to be adapting to. But one thing that was really unique was we had no air conditioning. And I, you know, you would think not having any air conditioning would be
really miserable.
Miserable. And it is, but somehow you adapt to it. And one of the things that you would do, you know, you'd have these really hot days, and you find out that the inmate rules are you open the windows at night and let the cooler air in, and then you close those windows in the morning, and you trap that air. Now, anybody opening those windows in the summertime, that's a problem. So it's and it really actually does kind of keep the place a little cooler than it would be, but I think it's interesting how your body can adapt to, you know, a 90, 95 degree day. I found that I had a lot easier time adapting to the heat and no air conditioning than the cold, because at Leavenworth, they wouldn't turn the heat on until I think it was the third week of November. And as you know, Greg,
wow,
there's some really cold days in October and November.
Sure. You never know what it could be. It could be 100. It could be 5.
Yeah. And you know those cinder block walls hold that in, and you know we'd get in there, and I remember you know you get your gray sweats on, you get your coat on, you get your stocking hat, and that's how you went to bed, and you had your long underwear on, and that's hard to get used to. That's a different type of deal. I can kind of sweat it out type thing, and maybe that's just me, but. Eventually, after a year or so, you kind of adapt to all of that and figure it out. I think the interesting thing about the environment, the social environment of prison is that you do find your people. You find people that you have some similarities. And that's, like I said, those are the people that you really hang out with. But it's an environment where you see people that are have strategies on how they're getting through this, and then you have the victims of feeling sorry for yourself and not doing anything. And there's really not any in between in that society. You've got the guys. One of the things about prison is that the inmates actually do everything. They clean the place. They make the food, the electrical. They have a shop that they fix the cars. You've got the food warehouse where all the food's taken, and all of this is done by the inmates. All the grass is cut, but everything is done by the inmates. I guess I didn't really know that, but the only thing the COs do is they watch you, and you know if you've got six or seven guys in the kitchen and they're making the food, then you've got one CO in there that watches you make the food, and then when count rolls around, they count you. So that's their job. And if the count's messed up, that's a whole...
I imagine it's a bad thing.
Oh, because that means that somebody's out of bounds in the whole world. And it's always our fault. So, you know, it's not that they counted wrong. It was something that,
right,
that an inmate did. But, yeah, so that's interesting because you see two different types of people that are living in this society. You have the people that are going to work. For me, getting a job was huge in prison, getting a good job. And I had a guy that I was introduced to right off the first night, Jim Clark, that actually got me connected to the food warehouse job, which was huge for me because it was outside the fence. And I got to walk about a mile to the food warehouse, which felt a little bit like freedom. And I could kind of walk around the big house and I could see Metropolitan Boulevard there. And it just kind of felt like I could have a little bit of touch of something. And I get to the food warehouse. But what I found was that you can re-engage your mind on things that like I hadn't done before. Like I got forklift certified. So I learned how to drive a forklift and move that thing around and unload semi trucks with this forklift and the automatic pallet jacks and those and learn how to drive a big truck down to the and learn to do all the thing with the mirror. So there's things that you can learn, interestingly enough, being in that environment. And like I said, then there's other guys that are in just a deep funk and you can kind of see them wandering around. And you want to stay away from that because it you want to stay in the groove where you're staying with the guys that are making the time.
I imagine to keep your mind off stuff.
Yeah, it beats down your time. It cuts your time, I think, and how you handle it.
So are jobs plentiful? If you want a job, can you get a job?
They expect you to work. There's definitely jobs that you don't want.
Sure.
You really have to, it's like anything else. It's like on the outside, you have to know somebody and then that inmate puts in a word for you and say, hey, there's a new guy here, Cassidy. I think he's a good guy. And then that guy talks to that guy and that guy talks to the CEO and the CEO then asks for you to come up and he interviews you. So yeah, there's good jobs, but you really kind of have to work for them. You have to try to get into those positions. And, there were a lot of guys that worked at a place called Unicor, and Unicor was kind of an interesting place because it was like a factory. And what it was is they would take electronics out of the federal buildings all across the United States, and then these inmates would disassemble them, and those parts would be sold off. And so these people actually just kind of worked like a factory, and they were paid more than most inmates to do that. But this was a big building that these guys went you don't think of those things in the prison world, but
right.
They kind of went to a big factory every day, kind of off to the side on this campus and worked in kind of like a factory line. And, like I said, you had the garage where these guys, they fixed, there's pretty big, machinery and trucks and that type of thing. Those guys fixed those things. And you had an electric shop, you had a paint shop, and everybody kind of had their thing that they did, and then everybody would come back. Now, the job that I had that I knew that I wanted, as soon as I knew that it was a job, was that there were five people that got to leave Leavenworth campus and go to Fort Leavenworth, and they could work on the Fort Leavenworth golf course.
Okay. That's got to be the dream job.
It was the dream job. And that took a lot of work to try to get, somebody knows somebody. And then eventually the superintendent from the golf course would have to call the prison counselor and say, hey, we want Greg. And then that's how the process started. So it took me about a year and a half to work my way into that, but that was something. That was something that really moved my time when I was in it. And I got to do a lot of things that I never thought I would. I know how to cut a green, know how to cut fairways. We cut down 52 trees one winter and chipped it all up. It was those ashwood trees that are dying.
Yeah.
Never thought I could do it. And I was scared to death of that chipper. You've seen those things in the horror shows where you put the chipper right in and it takes your arm. I knew I could probably be one of those guys, but luckily that never happened to me. But could have been a bad deal.
Could have been a bad deal.
I could have come back deformed in some bad way.
So, but I mean, obviously that's a pretty good job right there. And it certainly would make, you're outside. So it is more, I guess, kind of like freedom.
It was. It was a little taste of freedom. Mike, the superintendent, had a dog, Harley, that a black lab that kind of he was with us all day long. He when we mowed, he would go from place to place. And so, yeah, that and we didn't really. And the other thing, too, Greg, we didn't really talk a lot about it when we went back. I mean, we went there at 6 o'clock in the morning and came back at 3:30 in the afternoon. But we knew we had a really good thing, and we didn't play back on the other inmates that we had a really good thing. It was just one of those things that we knew we had, and we really appreciated that we had it.
Goes back to that, having their own language, as you said, ear hustling. I mean, that's got to be, you got to learn all that lingo, I guess.
You got to learn the lingo. But that comes for, like, inmate.com. That was, that if you heard it on inmate.com, that meant that was, when I first got there, I thought, did we have a channel? No, that was just gossip. That's inmate.com.
That's funny.
But I'll tell you, there was a couple other things that I thought that was sad. There were a couple of things that you see when you're in there that you get close to some of these guys and you see things like their family falls apart. And, you know, for me, I have so much gratitude for the fact that my family stayed together. My wife, Julie, came to see me every weekend, and it was a 4.5-hour drive there, 4.5-hour drive back. But for us as a family, that is what I got from week to week to week, what I looked forward to. And it allowed me to straddle the fence to the outside world and stay in my family's world by having those visits. For those guys that didn't have that or they were looking for, you know, I remember one guy that he'd lost weight and he was so excited for his wife to come and they were going to finally visit. And she showed up with the divorce papers.
Oh.
And it was just like, oh. I mean, such a gut punch, because in that environment, those dark days become so dark because of where you are. You know, it's like you can't just head down to the bar and say, I'm going to drain my, you know, sorrows today. You just are, you're in that environment that you can't get out of, and you got to figure out.
It's a lot of time to think.
A lot of time to think. And I saw that, which, you know, it would just shake you to your soul of sadness of seeing something like that happen. And the other thing was, there was a couple of different guys that had, you know, deaths that they dealt with in prison. In fact, I just had a guy that Paul that was on my podcast today, and he was talking about that. I think he had a 10-year sentence. He was 7 months to the door, and his dad died. And he couldn't get a furlough. He couldn't get a furlough to go see him before he was sick, and he couldn't get a furlough to get out. So it's just such a sad thing to have to lose somebody when you can't be there or you can't do what you want to do. And, you know, I had another Murphy. His brother died when he was – and, it, you know, we were – you try to help these guys out, but, man, it's tough to see that in a dark place. It really is.
Absolutely. All right. Last bit of business here before we head out. So hang on, folks. We're talking with Brent Cassidy, and he has got a book out called Nightmare Success, also a podcast talking about his time in prison here on KMOX. Is at your service. Let's do some more business. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. 9:49, 9:50 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America, and we're visiting with Brent Cassidy here on KMOX's At Your Service. He's got a book out called Nightmare Success, also a podcast, and we'll talk about that here in just a few seconds. Again, Brent, thanks for coming down and hanging out. See how fast it goes? It's
Greg,
almost to the end of the show already.
Crazy.
It's like crazy, crazy. So we're talking about your time in prison. One thing that we were just talking about off air that I think that you need to bring up was talking about your daughter making a calendar for you. Go ahead.
So my youngest daughter, I call her the baby. Her name's Connor. Every year she would make me a new calendar. And so I would write in that every night. And I would try to find a win for the day because, you know, I know you're in a bad environment, but there's ways to win the day. There's got to be something good that happened. And so I would write. And I found if I had a bad day and I wasn't filling out that win, I knew that I didn't want to have two little boxes that I was filling out, and I had to find something tomorrow to get a win out of, because you walk that fine line in prison, you don't want to fall into the ditch. You don't want to start skidding into that world where it's real easy to fall into. And it helped me a lot just to have that as a routine of mine to look at and write in and see what how I was handling myself. And when I was writing the book, that helped me to see what was going on when I went to prison and how was I handling myself and what strategies was I using to make it work. And, you know, I like to call that nightmare success, because you, whatever you do in life, if you want to get to that part of whatever sets you free, you're going to have to walk through the unknown. And it's going to be scary, and it's going to be something you're not comfortable with. But if you step into it, you can get there. And once you start stepping, you start feeling like it's not as bad as you thought it was going to be. You're getting there. It's not so bad, not so bad, not so bad. Now I'm getting closer.
Well, you know, I got to think that the conversations we have had off air, here on air as well, you've got such a positive attitude about it. That certainly had to help.
Well, I think I've been a, you know, I'm a half full guy for the glass. So, yeah, it's one thing that I've always wanted to do is have, when I'm in an environment, when I don't know what I'm doing, is set goals, put a plan in place, and it that steadies me. And it keeps me in, I think, the right mindset. Because a lot of that stuff that you're talking about, Greg, is mindset. You have to have a mindset that you have to have something that steadies you to make you feel like you know where you're going.
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about prison, how it's going like that. I asked you about the jobs. What about life skills for guys that come in? And what I mean by that, you know, do they have, you know, like Alcoholics Anonymous or anything like that to help folks further along?
They don't have a lot of, and that's one of the things, if I, you know, could ever get involved more in that world, there needs to be a lot more of that to help people get them ready to get back out into society. They do have a plan. They have a 9-month program that gets you a year off, and it's called RDAP. It's Residential Drug Alcohol Treatment, I think, or program, but I always forget the acronym. But it's RDAP. That's a good program. It's for people who have a drinking or drugs, and it gives you skills to handle that. And it's supposed to help with recidivism, and I think it helps a little bit on that. But as far as what could actually be put into to that world and help people to get them out, like resumes, resume writing, interviews, how to interview, all those different things, I think those could be so effective. But one thing I want to tell people, though, is these guys that are in there, there's a lot of smart guys that are in prison. And a lot of these guys that got into drugs or made a mistake, they're pretty smart. They were just on the wrong road. If they got, you know, an opportunity that somebody gave them on when they get out, that they've got a good brain. They need a real opportunity.
Sure. And I mean, I assume that they, you know, hopefully worked hard in prison. I'm assuming that there's some sort of help with education and stuff like that too. We got about a minute left.
There's an education department. You can get your GED. I had a good, it was on my podcast the other day, Mike Hughes. He was very effective helping these guys in prison, smart guy. And there were quite a few guys that he helped get their GED, which was very rewarding for him and them.
Now, what about like any college correspondence or anything like that?
No, there's not anything like that. But there is some of that in the medium and the maximums. For whatever reason, it's not in the minimum.
Oh, I got you. All right, so let's talk a little about your book real quick. We got about a little minute here. Tell us about your book, Nightmare Success.
Yeah, so the book, Nightmare Success, it's about my life. It's you walking with me through my journey of what I went through. My podcast is me interviewing guys that I was in Leavenworth with or that were at other prisons. And we talk about life before prison, life in prison, and life out of prison. And I got to tell you, Greg, there's some of the best stories that come out of this where somebody who's listening can take a nugget of something, of how they handled something, the strategy of how they got through a hard time or a good time, and were able to step into what they wanted to get to and how they worked through it. And I love the guys that I have on because they're just so honest, brutally honest, and share these stories, and I think they're great, really.
Yeah. Absolutely. So for folks who want more information about the book, where can they go?
They can go to Amazon. They can go to Barnes & Noble. You can also go to my website. My oldest daughter, Courtney, She keeps that up to date as it happens, when it happens, and it's got all the stuff on there from the podcast to the book and guest appearances and everything else. So BrentCassidy.com.
And that's with T's, not D's.
Yeah, we spelled that one wrong.
Hey, Brent, thanks so much for coming down and hanging out with us. I really appreciate it. It's been fascinating 2 weeks, that's for sure.
Greg, really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you so much. Hey, that's Brent Cassidy, guys. Check out his go ahead and check out his website as well for that book. This is going to about wrap up this edition of At Your Service here on KMOX. Thanks so much for listening. You guys be nice to each other out there. Hopefully no snow tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.